Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's get right into it and open our Bibles up to 2 Timothy and believe, God willing, this will be the final thought here of the third chapter tonight. And again, that's just for tonight. I pray that it'll go on, amen, and God does that. But we left off with we have the Swedish commander, and I'm talking about our Lord, the captain of our salvation. And I thank the Lord how he uses his vessels as he's used the Apostle Paul here. We know this. And praise God that he caused a heart all by grace to be ravished by the mercy of the Lord, to believe God intensely and in the infinite grace that was poured out. Paul said, Lord, let me receive it. Cause me to have it. Increase my faith. Don't let me doubt this for a moment. Hold me in it. Praise God, don't let me be distracted. And everything was about the one thing. I just want to win you. I want to apprehend you just as you've apprehended me before the world began, seeing me in love. Amen. I want to embrace you in that highest embrace. Praise the Lord. And we have this encouragement that we left off at in verse 10 of chapter 3 of Paul so sweetly encouraging Timothy. You know these things, son. And here he says, but thou fully know, has known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering and charity and patience. And then you just go on down to the 14th verse where we left off. He said, continue, thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And now here we go on to the very purpose of it all. That from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures. The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. See, this wasn't scriptures to save you. These were the holy scriptures. Not that he heard, but that he knew. Amen? And from a child. And he learned, praise God. And which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So wonderful all of those things, but they only work effectually in them that believe. Amen? Amen. They work like dynamite. Praise God. But we can hear them over and over, but if we don't believe them, if it's not, we know who we are in Christ, that the life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. And look what it says, through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here we go. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now this is wonderful as we begin this. It says here that Timothy had known these things from a child. And we know this in studying the Word of God because he had a mom and he had a grandmother. That faith was in them. And Paul points that out. And as we read, Paul perceived that same faith that dwelt in his mother and his grandmother dwelt in him. Paul's first missionary journey, way back when, probably about 20 years prior to him writing this final letter, that first missionary journey, Paul went to Timothy's hometown. He was right there in Lystra and Derbe. And he went through there preaching that gospel. And at that time, no doubt, There was a mom and a grandma that loved the Lord, but then they heard the word of God more perfectly. They heard the whole counsel. They heard, yea, the deep things of God by the Holy Ghost. And so, about 5 years later, Paul goes on his second missionary journey, and he goes right back through there. And I love how Paul always said that about his missionary journeys. He says, let's go back and see how they've done. See, he wanted to see that growth, didn't he? Paul said, I didn't come to baptize, I came to preach that gospel, you see, which includes baptism. We understand all that. But the purpose of it was what we just read, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the mark for the prize of that ministry and message that Paul was given, that they would be fully grown. So when Paul comes back on that second journey, well, lo and behold, there's a disciple there that they're talking about, a young guy, and his name's Timothy. And Timothy received that word. He grew up mighty in those things. And so much so that the Lord encouraged Paul, right? And this was right after his parting with Barnabas, when they parted ways. There's the man. Now go take that young buck with you. And let's have some experience in the deep things of God. So there they went. And I was thinking about this because, you know, all of us can say that same thing too, spiritually. Because all of us came into this message of Paul as children. We did. I didn't come into the message of Paul fully grown up. I was a child. Praise God. And then many here, and I'm one of those many here, came into Living Waters. And boy, I came in, I was born in here. But I came in here, grew up in here, as a child. But as a child, praise be to God, and as a child of the Lord, no matter how or when you came in, and I'm not saying it was just here, because I know some, like Sweet Lynn and Mark, they had heard, yea, the deep things of God before coming in here. But them too, they can have this, they had the same experience. They started as a child. But thanks be to God, as the Lord does with us, that'll be as these Timothys, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So you have to hear these Holy Scriptures as a child. You do. You can't skip any part of your life. You didn't go from 5 to 12. You didn't go from 12 to 20. You had to grow up. You had to have the line upon line and precept upon precept. Now, I have said, and I'll say it all the time, God's got a learning curve like this, and he does. But he still has to take you through the Scriptures, and those Scriptures will still need to be revealed. And by the grace of God, he'll do it, because that's his will and his purpose. He wants you to grow up into him in all things. That's the greatest purpose of everything he has. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So we're so grateful to God that we're in this place too, that we were children of the Lord when we came into this truth. Many were children of the Lord when they came into this building, but it wasn't the building that grew them up. It was the message. It was the message. It was just like Timothy's mom and grandma didn't grow him up. It was the message that they received that they gave to him. They were followers of Paul as he followed Christ. And it never changes. It never changes. This message is and will come that way. And the Word of God says, mark them as examples that follow Paul as he followed Christ. That's who you mark. That's that faith and love that you go after. And praise God, we've heard this being children, these Holy Scriptures. And I'll tell you one thing that they do. They make you wise unto salvation. That's right. You become understanding in it. You grow up in it. You're instructed in it. And by the grace of God, you can even teach it. But that wisdom, praise God, you understand that the salvation is just the beginning. But then that salvation, praise God, and knowledge grows on up to salvation with eternal glory. So, as we go on in this, there's something very, very special and unique about that phrase in verse 15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. See, the word scripture is found 51 times in the New Testament. 51. But the two words together, holy scriptures, are only found twice in the Word of God. Holy, sanctified scriptures. What that means is the set apart scriptures. And the set apart scriptures, as we see here, that are mentioned the two times, are spoken both by the Apostle Paul. Let's go over to the other one, where he says this in Romans chapter 1. I believe this will give us a little bit more clarity in the meaning, in the depth of holy scriptures. Paul, as he begins to write this wonderful epistle, this letter to the Romans, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says here, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the holy scriptures. So Paul is called to be an apostle here, and he's separated. And that word separated in the Greek, it means to set apart for a purpose. And the purpose that we read right here was a purpose that he had promised afore in his prophets in the holy scriptures. Praise God. There was a promise in that. And that promise was to be set apart, a rib portion. And this precious truth that we have, that was written by the prophets, is the set apart holy scriptures that show the rib portion, praise God, in the body of Christ. And now, hallelujah, we know that is all over the Old Testament, because we received Paul's knowledge in the scriptures. Stay with me on this. Now, holy set apart scriptures is the understanding of Paul's knowledge in the scriptures. All right? So once again, that holy set-apart scriptures is the understanding of Paul's knowledge in the scriptures. When you have Paul's knowledge in the scriptures, they become the holy scriptures to you. When you have Paul's knowledge in the scriptures, they set you apart. They're set apart. Praise God. Because what happens is you begin to see the mystery that was hidden in the scriptures that set the bride apart unto him, that set you apart unto him. All right, let's finish this up. And here it is, Romans 16 says the exact same thing. Romans 16, verse 25. Paul says, so he says that at the beginning, and now he says it again at the end. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and how? By the scriptures of the prophets. Praise God. It's now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. It was always there. That mystery, praise God, the most holy scriptures, they were always there. But that message of this mystery that was written by the prophets, that was most holy and most set apart, could not be seen. It was hidden. And so here now, praise God, we have enlightened eyes of understanding through the knowledge of Paul that was given to him for us to see and understand those most holy scriptures. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the only way to be wise unto salvation. You'll never have wisdom unto salvation without this message, without Paul's gospel, without the holy scriptures, those set apart scriptures. You can read the Word of God, you can study the Word of God, but until the Holy Ghost takes those things of Christ, makes them known unto you with the message of Paul, you'll never receive the Holy Scriptures to set you apart in this way of a bride for the Lamb that we see and believe and rejoice in. Now, going back here to our portion of Scripture in Timothy there, it says, I think I lost my little place there, my little marker. I get excited and I put it in the back of the Bible. Put it right there. These last words of Paul in verse 17. Here's the entire purpose of it. Let's read it again. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now once again, these are some mighty things, brothers and sisters. The Holy Scriptures through Paul, the wise unto salvation, can build us up for him to be. And it's all by the word of his grace. Praise God. And here we are, and he's doing that building more tonight. Now, first of all, as we analyze this, the man of God. And that's so beautiful in itself. It didn't say the child of God. It doesn't say the son of God. Nope. It says the man of God. And that means a human man of God. And I don't know about you, that means a lot to me. That a human man of God may be perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll tell you what that tells you is how much God loves humanity, our humanity. He loves our frailty. Yes, he does. It's his treasure. He loves the good fight of faith in us. Us weakened vessels, so infirm, so filled with infirmities, so that the power of Christ might be magnified and manifest upon us. Amen? Now, he made us the only thing that could be empowered by him, his grace, to be like him. The only thing that could be empowered by his grace to be like him. Praise the Lord. You're pretty special. Hallelujah. And then you think he made us weak and infirm humans, the only vessels created to receive his grace to grow up into him in all things. Amen. Praise God, that the human man of God may be perfect. I'll tell you what, that's a giant big oxymoron. If you don't know the mercy and the grace and the love and the purpose and the power of the Holy Ghost, amen? I mean, how could that be? If you don't know the doctrine and the truth of grace and mercy, that Jesus Christ is going to have a wife, you would never, ever be able to receive this. No. But see, this is the whole purpose. The whole purpose is that the man of God may be perfect. Perfect. Fully grown, complete, like him in full maturity, ready to be offered to the bridegroom as a wife. Praise God. Perfect. Perfect. Oh, it's got a big bunch of meanings on this. Means fitted for a purpose. You're fitted for a purpose. Praise God. Oh, but it even gets better. A special aptitude for given uses. Special aptitude for given uses. So let's just talk about a couple of the fitted for a purpose. We were made totally weak for grace. Amen? We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I'll just say totally wicked for mercy. Praise God. Amen? Come on. That's all right. You should get excited about that if you have a hard time. I'll tell you what. You're going to have a hard time wearing a crown. He made us for a purpose that I can do nothing of myself. I need him for everything. 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 Now, that special aptitude, let's go further. The special aptitude for given uses. Oh my goodness. How about as the woman was made for the man? Or how about the meaning of vessel adding to the usefulness of the husband? Special aptitude for given uses. How about vessels to the praise of the glory of his grace for the good pleasure of his will? He made us to be his ecstasy. Come on. That's what he made us for. Praise the Lord. Everything that he's ever wanted, we can use dreamed, imagined, whatever. But what he set before he set a star in heaven, he saw that. He saw you in him in love, purposed. And that's why I just thank the Lord. It wasn't, will you marry me? You're going to marry me. You're going to marry me. When the Father said it's not good for man to live alone, and he saw the will of the Father for him, oh, you're going to marry me. Come on. Amen. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, I want you to think about this. David's heart, see, was in a type of this for us. His heart was perfect toward God. It was. We know that David wasn't a perfect natural man. Very flawed. Very, very flawed. But God was not looking for that one, a perfect natural man. Matter of fact, that doesn't exist anyways. All right? But that's not what he wanted. He's looking for the perfect-hearted spiritual man because that's what is beautiful to him. And that's what he desires. That's why God does not look on the outward appearance. And we need to get over that too. Not only for myself, but you too. Hallelujah. And oftentimes, I have such an easier time with your getting over your outward appearance than mine. And you understand that as you go on with the Lord. Isn't that something? You got to throw away that guilt blanket. And that blanket of shame. He took all that. Begin to praise him and thank him for the camel that you are. This is the one that's going to win the race. Amen. Amen. I praise him for this. I thank him. He made me perfectly to fight the good fight of faith. I got a giant. My fight's got to be bigger than yours. And I'm not a kidding, but that's all right. Now, this isn't a long study tonight, but I want us to wrap up tonight. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Because it all just keeps building and building and building. But you understand, it can't build on anything else but the scriptures that we know. And that's why we give the more earnest heed to the things that we know, lest at any time we let them slip. And it continues to build if we'll just continue to take it. But in verse 25 of chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul again says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." So we're talking about this completeness, this perfection, because that's what fulfill means. It means to complete. Amen. So this message, this dispensation, this revelation, this mystery that was hidden from the sons of men, the prophets wrote those things. They wanted to look into them, but they wrote them for us. And as we read earlier, Paul was made a minister. Yep. God set him apart for this. And there was a purpose, and that purpose was written in those holy scriptures by the prophets. Amen. And here it's unleashed and it's made fully known, given to Paul, and what it does is it completes Jesus because he is the Word of God. Amen. So we see all of this encouragement back to us all the time, that perfection that he's speaking of, that the man of God may be perfect, is this same completion, oneness, that completes him. It's why he sits at the right hand of God today and doesn't take the throne as God, because the one requirement that still remains is he has to have his wife. When he receives her, he will take that throne. They will rule and reign together. That judgment will pour forth. That millennial time, just a short 7 years away. And then he'll take the throne as God with her. Amen. With her. Praise God. She will rule and reign and be glorified together with him. With him. Amen. Exalted together with him. They shall come bow down before your feet. There's not two thrones. There's just one. And that's the throne they're going to bow down to, the one that she occupies with him. Amen. Now, let's finish this thought of this completion. Now going back to verse 17. They're in Timothy. Chapter 3. And what I want you to look at, that the man of God may be perfect and now thoroughly finished. Thoroughly finished means complete, finished perfectly to accomplish. Finished perfectly to accomplish. That goodly pearl, praise God, that the merchant sold all that he had to have her. Praise God. The mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Finished perfectly to accomplish. As Paul cried out about keeping the faith, finishing the course. Amen. Fighting that good fight. Finished perfectly for the crown. That exalted rank of righteousness crown. Amen. So we thank God for this. And yes, we are separated unto the gospel. We are set apart for a purpose for the gospel. Set apart for a purpose for Jesus Christ, the vessel only for the master's use. Paul is encouraged very sweetly by the Holy Ghost in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And he says something very direct about what was given to him and given to him for us, and what was given to him as that domestic, that housekeeper, the master builder that was given such love for us. And in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, what does it say there? For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. This is Paul speaking. This is Paul speaking. Paul has received this godly jealousy, praise the Lord, this intense love and passion of Jesus Christ for the body of Christ. You talk about a joint being used in the body of Christ for supplying. This is a gusher. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Think of what he's saying. The power of the Holy Ghost, praise God, in love. And in the knowledge of that love, that Paul knew that he was delivering, praise God, to us. That I may present you. And it wasn't Paul himself, but it was the truth in love that was given to him. That spirit in truth, praise God. And that message is all powerful because that is all the capacity, the height, breadth, length, depth, every bit of God's love. Praise the Lord, that power. And let me tell you something, that is a God that is a love that is jealous over you, that desires you in purpose and passion. And takes your life, praise God, each one of us so individually, with all the things from the very moment that you were born, whom he foreknew, every bit, every heartache, every bit of dysfunction, everything. I'm talking about stuff that we don't even like to speak of, but God foreknew. And it was that exact and that purposeful for this godly jealousy to bring each and every one of our lives here tonight to hear this, that it's alive now, right from the lips of the Apostle Paul. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is it. Praise the Lord. This is that power. Praise God of his love. This is the love message and the passion given to Paul of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it's sitting out right here, right now. This is it. You're the very inheritance of God. Amen. This is it. This is the unsearchable riches. It's in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh my. Hallelujah. So, I know we all want to run down the altar, and let's not lose that encouragement. But now, it says, once again, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we're talking about these good works that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 2:10. We have just a moment. Let's turn on over there. Where is that? It's just so gorgeous. This word is so gorgeous. I know he thinks I am, but man, he's the keeper. Praise God. My, oh my. Well, let's just go back to the seventh verse because it's so wonderful. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. And I say you through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here we go. For we are his workmanship. Oh my, I thank him so much. You're his workmanship. I'm his workmanship. This is all him. This is all he's doing. Created in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ before the world began, in Christ. unto good works. There they are. And that means the excellent things which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're walking in them. And he before ordained, before he set a star in heaven, that we're walking in the most excellent things. This is it. And notice how he said it to Timothy, which is so gorgeous. Thoroughly furnished unto all excellent things. That's your life in Christ. Not some excellent things. All excellent things. All of them. And I love it because you know why? All them excellent things are right there in Romans 8:28. All things. My whole life is a bunch of all excellent things. Your whole life is a whole masterpiece collection of all those excellent things. I remember standing in that art museum, and they had all those Monets all over the place. And I remember, you know, walking there and his first displays out, and they had one of them critics come there, said, if you really look at it real close, it just looks like one bird poop after another. And that's the truth. Standing there looking at a painting, they don't even have a price on it. 50 million, 100 million, who knows what that thing's worth. And you know, if you stood right there and you just isolated that one thing, it looked like a bird poop. And that's your life when you just look at one thing of you. But when you stand back and see that it was all part of all the excellent things, you'll begin to thank him. You'll begin to thank him for everything. You'll thank him the home or lack thereof that you were brought into. You'll thank him for the parents or lack thereof. Same with family, friends, spouses, children. Highs, lows don't matter. When you see this and what he saw in you in ages past, that's the plan of all the excellent things. And I'll tell you one thing. There's one thing they add up to. To be presented to him in all those excellent things. Yes. See, I thank God. I'm going to see the Lamb. I'm going to see the Lamb slain. That's what I'm going to see. And I know when he looks at me, he's going to see his vessel of mercy. Radiant. Radiant with his grace. Radiant with his blood. Oh my. And see, the Spirit knows how to give it to us, doesn't he? That we are presented to him someday as his complete and perfect satisfaction. His complete and perfect ecstasy. Oh, I want to be that for him. His perfect and complete crowning. When we're presented to him, praise God, in that meeting in the air, I know he'll embrace us as he's told us, the way Ahasuerus came and Esther entered to him. It's all yours. You're here. You're here. You're mine. It's all ours. Praise God. I just say in Jesus' name, Lord, encourage your hearts and let's come and pray. Praise God.